Blog Talk Radio. Good morning, God's morning, and welcome back to the Purpose of Closures Blog Talk Radio. And I'm your host, Cassandra Brand. This is such a beautiful day. It is a day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. We have an awesome episode going on, teaching about prayer. Now, we've helped... We have increased the airtime because before it was like 15 minutes a day. But it's just too much to say. You know, as we grow, we got to let go and move forward. So we increased the time, the airtime, to help others with prayer, teach others how to pray, share others with the word of God, and teach others the word of God. Save lives by leading them into salvation, not condemnation or damnation. So have your paper and pen ready to take notes. I'll wait. Episode is being taught by Dr. Miles Monroe. And who do not know who Miles Monroe is in, it is early in the morning. I am not perfect, but I am made after God's image. So that is perfection. For those who don't know who Dr. Miles Monroe is, he was awesome leader, and he was from the Bahamas. I'm going to read. I didn't share any of his information on the last episode about how to pray effectively. I just got so into the message and time began to kind of like run out. But if you didn't get a chance to hear before, please, you can do the playback, the replay. You'll find it on the homepage. Or you can email me at purposeclosure@gmail.com and request a link for it. I just feel so blessed this morning. I really do. If you have a morning routine, it'll fall in place. If it falls back a little bit, don't worry about it. Just get up and keep pushing forward. Yesterday, I wasn't feeling too well, as he was talking about in the last episode about healing, that I am healed. I fell and hit my head, and it was hurting. It was hurting, okay? I had to put some ice on it. But I am healed, thank God, with my right mind, 6 feet over, not under, live, and know the difference. Amen. Okay, so let's get into the word.
Learned, and it's an art. Now, this is very serious because it means that you cannot just begin to talk and expect that it's going to work. It's like anything else in life. Prayer is something that has to be taught. If it didn't have to be taught, the answer of Jesus should have been, you don't need to learn to pray, guys. You just talk. Tell God how you feel. But he didn't. He laid out a specific pattern of prayer procedure in those verses. As a matter of fact, the verses that followed are actually a process of pattern the way you should pray. We call it the Lord's Prayer, but it's not His prayer. It's our prayer. It is His seminar on how we are to learn to pray. So prayer is not automatic. And this is very important. And that means that Jesus' words to the disciples in Matthew chapter 5 and 6 are very important. He said to them, when you pray, do not be like the Pharisees, who think they will be heard because of their much speaking. Now, that means that if you are praying loud and strong and long and using many words, that does not guarantee your prayer is being heard. And many of us in our own country and in the churches that we've been brought up in, we've been taught to believe that if you make a lot of noise, then God is obligated to listen to us. But Jesus said, the Pharisees themselves, they make a lot of repetitions and much speaking and loud noises and they keep repeating and repeating themselves. He says they think they will be heard because of their much speaking. Well, don't laugh at them. I'm talking to your neighbor. Look at him and smile. Yeah, it's your neighbor who's doing it. Not you. I know it ain't you. But it's your neighbor who thought that way. You thought that you talk loud, talk long, talk strong, and God heard you. As a matter of fact, here's the way I was brought up. If you were tired after a prayer meeting, you know God heard you. And don't break out in a sweat. Now, you know He heard you. Well, if sweating and volume and tonal language and deep speech used to answer prayer, then the Muslims and the Buddhists and the Confucius and those that crawl on their knees and light 20 candles and sweat before those idols would be heard by God. Sweating doesn't do it and praying loud doesn't do it. As a matter of fact, you would remember some people who prayed very loud. When Elijah challenged the people to see whose God was the Lord. And the Bible says the prophets of Baal, they went before the altar and they cut themselves and cried out loud and nothing happened. And then Elijah started to pray. And if you read his prayer, he started quoting scripture. Ah. See, he knew the pattern. So he got the answer. Praying loud does not guarantee answered prayer. You remember Hannah? As she prayed, the priests were watching her every day and they couldn't even hear what she was saying. So even praying loud doesn't mean anything if you're not praying right. You know, it's the difference between sitting in a car with a car key, putting it in the ignition, turning it and driving off, or sitting in a car without a car key and be like a child. See, the guy with the key doesn't make a sound. Why? He has the key. If you don't have a key, you got to make a lot of noise and the car still doesn't perform. Prayer is learned. That is why we have a school of prayer. Because you have to get your prayers answered. And we don't want you making noise and getting frustrated because nothing's happening. You are sick and tired of it, and I'm sick and tired of it, and that's why we need to learn how to pray. Teach us how to pray, they asked. And he gave them a lesson. So prayer is not an option for the Christian. It's a necessity. We learn that principle. And time spent in prayer, we talked about this, is not time wasted, but time what? Invested. When you pray properly, you could afford to go walk off and go have fun. Just go ahead and relax. Why? Because if you pray correctly, then that's like an investment where returns are going to come. You don't worry when you pray right because you know you have to have an answer. We pray for people's loved ones to get saved. We heard one report tonight of a mother. She probably was trying to get her mother saved for a long time. But when you pray, then the Lord begins to remove the blindness Why? Because it says that the God of this world, that Satan, blinds the minds of people. And when you pray, then it's a spiritual battle, and God begins to destroy the works of Satan. So people begin to get saved. Many of you prayed for people on this altar, on those prayer requests, and every week since you've been praying, this altar has people getting saved. Don't neglect to connect the two. We prayed and fasted, and people get saved every week, and that's connected to your prayer. That's why we shouldn't stop. Can I hear an amen? We have loved ones who have gotten saved this past week at this altar, and you are so happy they got saved. But it was because of somebody who were able to effectively pray. That's the way it happens. James 4:2, we mentioned that they have not because they ask not. John Wesley said this statement, I wrote this in the notes. Years ago I read his report. And he says, it seems like God is limited by our prayer life, and he cannot do anything for humanity unless someone asks him. I recorded a scripture here, Psalm 78. Please turn to that. I want you to take a look at that verse in the Bible, because some translations have it written a little differently. But Psalm 78, and Pastor Richard went over this last week, and I want to reinforce this. The power of humans. Humans are powerful creatures. God is limited by your prayer life. You actually limit God. Psalm 78. Take a look at verse 41. God is here referring to the children of Israel. How much he wanted to do for them. But he could not because they were not in the position, the right position for him to work. Psalm 78 verse 14. It says, he guided them. Psalm 78, 41, sorry. Again and again they put God to the test. They vexed the Holy One of Israel. And God was limited. That's what that word actually means. They limited the Holy One. To put him to the test means they limited the Holy One. The Hebrew statement here is a statement that is used when you bind someone in chains. It's a powerful word. When it says they tested him, the King James. Anyone got a King James? What does it say in yours? What did it say? They limited the Holy One. Okay. Now, is it possible for a human to limit the sovereign Almighty God? That's serious, isn't it? That means there are things God wants to do, but he cannot do because he needs the cooperation of humans. And that's the word I want you to write down. Prayer is a cooperative act with heaven. God set up the situation on earth in such a way that nothing could happen on earth without you. Wow. And that is why we find such words, whatever you bind on earth, then heaven can bind. Whatever you loose on earth, then heaven can loose. So heaven depends on earth to interfere with earth. Make a note. Heaven depends on earth to interfere with earth. So when you don't pray, you limit heaven. Now if you think about that seriously and believe that, then you'll see why Jesus said, men ought always to pray. Why? Because heaven should always have access to earth. Men ought always to pray and never what? Faint. That means never get tired. Never quit. You know, that is one of the reasons why I am convinced. Because God set this thing up the way he did for the world to depend on heaven and heaven to depend on earth, that's why God made the earth round. Amen. And that's why God put the sun in a position where the earth moves around it, and one half of the earth is always in light. Because God wanted prayer to constantly be available to heaven. Figure that out? There's always somebody up. Give the Lord a hand. He's good, isn't he? So in our country, we're getting ready to go to bed. But in another side of the world, they're getting ready to get out of bed. So as soon as we hit sound sleep, somebody hits the prayer closet. It's God's program. Because he wants to always have access to earth. So he wants to have people always available for heaven to interfere. This is a powerful statement. You can limit God by your non-prayer life. Things don't happen on earth because God doesn't want them. Things don't happen on earth because we won't let him. We won't allow him. Now, why is God limited by man's activity? We read this psalm in our last session on Sunday, Psalm 82. We have a note there. God made the world, heavens and the earth. Then he made man and gave man dominion over the earth. And Adam was the god of this world. In other words, Adam was the ruler that God placed over the earth in God's stead. He was given full authority. And this is the big word in prayer. Authority. God did not give Adam power. He gave him authority. The authority gave man access to the power. And the power needs the authority in order to be released legally. So God is the power. Man, bless his heart, is the authority. Genesis would be a good one. Go to Genesis chapter 1. Two words that we need to just look at one more time, because we're going to give you something tonight that's going to bless you. The two words found in Genesis chapter 1 verse 26. And it's the words, let them. That statement is the criteria and the foundation of prayer. Those two words right there. If God had not said those two words, then we wouldn't need to pray. If God had said, let us have dominion, then he would have included himself. Do you see that? But he did not. He said, let what? Them. Now, when God speaks, whatever God says becomes law. And this is the problem. I want to say with God, but I want to change that probably to say with man. Because everything God does is perfect. Amen? God wanted you. Well, let me back up. God loves you so much that he refused to not let you enjoy the feeling of rulership. Did you get that? Calvary is not proof that God loves you. Proof that God loves you is the fact that he gave you authority to participate with him in rulership. Are you getting this? That's love. In other words, he could have made you a robot with no consciousness, with no will, and just press a button in heaven, you just go, yes, sir, hallelujah. You couldn't disobey or nothing. Just a robot. He could have done that. He got the power to have made you a stooge. But God loves you so much, God wants you to share the feeling of being in charge and giving commands and having authority and being a dominator to feel like him. Aren't you glad? Give him a hand. I feel good about God. God is so good. He wants you to feel what he feels and experience what he experiences. So he didn't say, let us have dominion. Because he didn't want earth to be interfered by him. He wanted his kids to run earth. Why? He's running heaven. He's not greedy, selfish, self-centered. He wants to share
his dominion. He wants to share his reign. He wants to share his kingdom with his children.
That is why every time you try to transfer responsibility back to God, he always corrects you. Uh-oh.
You missed that. Okay, let me try an example.
Do you remember when Moses was at the Red Sea and Pharaoh was behind, the water was in front of him, and Pharaoh was coming with the horses, and the people were all afraid, and then all of a sudden Moses did something that was just like a real man.
Hallelujah.
Moses took authority. Moses didn't pray first. I want you to watch this. Moses saw the people. They were afraid, the Bible says, and they began to cry out to Moses, for they were afraid of the Egyptians. They were going to be killed. And so Moses lost it for a minute and became a real man. Hello? He lost his logic. And the Bible says he stood before the people and stretched his hands and says, "Hear me. Stop being afraid. I promise you today that not a one of those Egyptians shall be alive at sunset." Then the Bible says, and Moses went aside quickly and began to pray. "Oh Lord, did you hear what I told them?" That's how he works. Now, let's follow Moses. Follow Moses. Because that's exactly what God likes. I mean, here comes your water bill, your light bill, your phone bill, and you open it. And there happen to be people around you. What are you going to do? What are you going to say? Well, you just say, "You see that? Yeah, that's paid already." And then you run to the bottom and say, "Lord, did you hear what I tell that girl out there?" God likes that. You are speaking like him. You are acting like him. You are commanding like him. And that makes heaven act. Do you know what God said to Moses? Behind that bush? It's written. It says, "And the Lord said to Moses, why comest thou to me?" What do you mean, why comest thou to me? Pharaoh's coming, water up front. People scared. God says, "Why do you come to me? Go back and do what you told them." He took dominion. He was sharing rulership on earth. And God says, "Go for it, kid. That's my boy. Even though you're scared, talk like that anyhow. Act like you are in charge and you will be." It just doesn't live by sight, but by faith. Let them means humans have official dominion. So I want to use two words that you must always remember in prayer. Legal authority. Humans have legal authority. The word authority is also from the root word authorized, which means that only humans, everybody say only humans. Now, a human is a strange creature. We know that, right? It's from the word humus and the word man put together. Humus means dirt. And man is the spirit being that God made. So a human is a humus man, which is a spirit in a dirt body. And only a spirit in a dirt body has legal authority on planet Earth. And therefore, if God wants to do anything on Earth, he has to do it through the access of a human. That is why, would you believe, nowhere in your Bible does God give authority to any angel to cast out a demon? But he gave it to you. Because angels are illegal to function on earth. As a matter of fact,
you will discover that it is Jesus.
I'm going to bless you now.
It is Jesus who gives the command in heaven for angels to follow judgment. Why? Because Jesus has a body. Oh, you missed it. He still has a body. And that's why he can be the mediator. God will come back to earth in a body. It's called the second coming. But he's also here now. Because there's still a body. Let the body lift its hands and praise the Lord. We are the body of Christ, the Bible teaches. Now when the rapture takes place, the body that Christ lives in leaves. And if you read Thessalonians chapter 1, it says, then the wicked one is let loose without limitation. Why? Because the saints have been removed and there is nothing to stop it. That means you need to tell your neighbor, your ungodly neighbor, your ungodly colleague, your ungodly friend. You need to tell them, do you know what's keeping this world together? Me. Because I have a body. A body. So prayer is man giving God legal access to earth through his authority. That's prayer. Let us take a look. Psalm 115. I know you went over this before. I want to just reinforce this. Because some of you may not even appreciate the fact that the earth was not made for God. God made the earth for the purpose that he had for man. Let's read it. It's right here in Psalm 115. Get your pen. You want to underline this very powerful verse. It says, verse 14, may the Lord make you increase both you and your children. And may you be blessed by the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. What did he make? Heaven and earth. So he made the heavens and he made the earth. Now this word heaven here is referring also to the seven levels of heaven. Matter of fact, the Hebrew word here is a holistic, a total word. It means that all of the heavens God created, but he also made the earth. So the heavens where God abides is included in this verse. God says, heaven belongs to me. That's my territory. But look at the next statement. The highest heaven, not the one that's above us where the sun is, but the highest heaven, the ones where God resides, belongs to who? The Lord. Now, listen, don't rush that. Hold that. You got to be careful with the Bible. That means you ain't got no legal right in heaven. That's what that verse means. It means when you get to heaven, you just one of the people hanging around waiting to leave. That is why in the book of Revelations, no humans are ruling in heaven. Read it. You ever read the book of Revelation? It's not like your hymn books. The hymn book has a lot of stuff that's not in the Bible. You got to be careful, you know. The hymn book talks about when I get to heaven, I'm going to sit down and reign with Jesus. That is not in the Bible. You are not going to reign in heaven. If you stay in heaven, you are illegal. Oh boy. That's tough. That's tough for a Baptist. That's hard on a Methodist. That almost kills a Catholic. That just about wipes out a Pentecostal. In the 7 day, Lord help us all. I mean, statements like that mess you up. Amen. If you stay in heaven,
then God failed. That's why the Bible begins on earth and ends on earth. And in between, you take a short trip to heaven. Heaven is filled with spirit beings, eh? Am I right? Yeah. So when you die, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Well, I with you now, Lord. What do you want my body back for? You only need a body when you will be coming back to the physical earth. That's why Jesus is keeping his. Because he will reign on the earth forever. And we will reign with him as kings and princesses in the earth forever. That's in your Bible. Not the hymn book now, but that's in your Bible. See, this thing about prayer has to do with what God set up. Prayer meetings are not meetings where you get real spiritual and, you know, I go into... No, this is business. Oh, if I could just catch it on this. Prayer is business. You're doing business with glory. Hallelujah.
Amen, amen. It's powerful teaching. He said, kingdom business. They've been trying to kill us, but they got we are seeds. Let's just take a real quick break so then we can reiterate on what we just learned. About you, but I was taking some notes. I've listened to this several times over and over because faith comes by hearing the word of God. And I was taught a different way. I thank God for my mother, who I believe that loves God, believes she know God. But that's why you got to know God for yourself. You know, you can't just depend on the prayers of your mother, you know, or your father, because they're evangelists or a minister and things like that. And I'm very big on building a relationship with God for yourself. And how do you do that? You spend time with him. And when things have to be unlearned, he will give you the information, knowledge, wisdom, because though when you seek ye the kingdom of God and all his righteousness first, then all these things shall be added unto you. People are so into chasing the money, chasing a career, chasing materialistic things, chasing big bank accounts. And I'm going to tell you one thing. When you seek ye the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and he said all those things to be added, you, it will supersede what you do for yourself. Now, the purpose of this episode is to teach you how and why you should pray. Please consider to share these powerful teachings by Dr. Miles Monroe. Because in these days, we need to become more God-conscious. Also comment below. A few notes that I took. Instead of blaming God, pray to God. Instead of blaming God, pray to God. If you really don't know how to pray, go to your Bible. Look in the table of contents of the prayer, you will find, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Because it's not designed for you to go through bitterness, hatred, anger, unforgiveness in heaven as it is on earth for you. You have to line yourself up with God. You have to become intimate, get to know him. You know how when you get in a relationship and people tell you, "I'll deal with you later," or "she needs to be trained," or "he needs to be taught." God is our creator of the heavens and earth. Pray without cease. It's a continuation, never a graduation. He spoke on you, limit God on earth because of your prayer life. If you're so worried about me, my eye, my problem, what I don't have, what I need, who shot JR, my man left me, my rent is overdue, license is off, then you don't have time to pray. You praying to your issues. You have to pay attention where you put your energy at. So don't be angry with God. Get a prayer life. Religion try to make you a robot, make us a robot. But he stated how God loves us so much, he could have created us just to push a button and be a robot. And that blew my mind because that's what man on earth is trying to do with God's children today. And it never would have been exposed, unfortunately, through the pandemic. People are waking up now because of religion. 1st thing I hear people with the pandemic that passed away, God bless their soul, "I'm a very compassionate person." The prayer was out of fear. I'm not saying because they didn't know how to pray, things happen. But it will teach you how to pray. It will draw you closer to God. Because that C word, virus, was created by man, not created by God. It's created by man. They're already talking about, allegedly, how many people are going to die. How can you estimate how many people are going to die by a certain time unless you planned it? He talked about sharing the kingdom with his children. Do you know that you are a child of God? Who is infinity? Created the world and the universe and everything? I'm very happy he's my father. That's why you got to know who are you. Because he created you after his likeness. Another thing that stuck out with me was you got to act like. Act is action. You got to do. Faith is dead without works. You got to have action. You know what I mean? Act like, hey, because this is no joke. This is real. Okay? I have an announcement also as well. Here we go. Okay. All right. If you are interested in advertising your ministry or business, contact me at purposeclosure@gmail.com. You may order my books, Purpose of Closure, or purchase them on Amazon. The latest book is 10 Wrong Reasons to Get Married. I wasn't discouraging anyone, just encouraging to make sure you understand what marriage is, because the divorce rate in these days is entirely too high. I want to share, this is for Cindy Trim. She is such an awesome, awesome woman of God. And let's talk about a little more about prayer.
According to Daniel 9 and 4, you are the only great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love you and to them that keep your commandments. I appeal to the God who said in 2 Chronicles 7, 13 to 16, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence amongst my people, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin. I will hear their land. Now mine eyes shall be open, and my ears attend unto that prayer that is made into this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be perpetually there. I declare that this place is sanctified. I present my body as a living sacrifice by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, my Savior and Redeemer. Make these prayers holy and acceptable unto you. I confess my sins and the sins of our fathers. Let grace and mercy prevail over us. I declare I have a free passage for my prayers to ascend into the realm of the supernatural and will not be earthbound. I come into agreement with the supreme good of heaven. I am seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Therefore, war from this plane and realm. I declare that the anointing of God breaks every yoke. Open every portal and assign angels to reinforce me as I advance into new levels, new dimensions, new realms and territories. Let there be a breakthrough in the heavens. I tap into apostolic and prophetic veins. I shatter glass ceilings. I smash spiritual bars and iron membranes. I declare a breakthrough atmosphere is established. I recalibrate the spiritual climate and decree that every bit of lukewarmness must be replaced with the fire and the zeal of God. Baptize me with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Let there be fire in my mouth as I advance in this prayer. I take authority over demonic satanic atmospheres and climates created by cultic activities, destiny altering images, incantations, ill-spoken words, witchcraft, hostile environments, fear, terrorism, racial, ethnic hatred, violence. In the name of Jesus, I command that the spiritual climate to shift, economic climate shift, social climate shift, cultural climate shift, educational climate shift, political climate shift, ecclesiastical climate shift. I command that the atmosphere must be filled with the glory of God. Father, fill the atmosphere, fill the environment with your glory. I alter this environment and declare it is now suitable for my ministry to thrive, my relationships to thrive, my children to thrive, my loved ones to thrive, my business to thrive, my ideas to thrive, my nation to thrive, my government to thrive, my economy to thrive. I establish a supernatural environment for miracles to occur. I war in the name of Jesus and by his shed blood, which is the shed blood of the Lamb that was slain before the foundations of the world. By him, hallelujah, evil must be destroyed. For this reason was the Son of God made manifest, that he would destroy the works of the darkness. I decree and declare the works of darkness is destroyed. I decree every curse over my life is reversed. I break through prevailing and sustaining powers of darkness over this region in the name of Jesus. I arrest every demonic spirit through your word. Empower the angelic host to war in my behalf. I resist territorial strongholds. I sever ego entanglements, open the gates of psychological prisons, and deliver us from the spirits of shame, embarrassment, harassment, iniquity. Deliver us from the spirit of strongholds and pride. Deliver me from stigmatization, emotional blackmail, social impediments, seductions, satanic limitations, satanic illusions, addictions, demonic restrictions, cultural entrenchments, cultic strongholds, bewitchment, traditions, antichrist cultural environments. Free me from limitations, handicaps, impediments. I refuse to be marginalized, stigmatized, immobilized, terrorized, characterized, criticized, tolerated, censored, misjudged, mishandled, mismanagement. I wear a cloak of favor. I disengage demonic triggers and psychological buttons. I short circuit them. I am non-responsive to demonic depression. I establish my superior authority over this region by the blood, the word, by the spirit of God. For this region, I remind you that the Son of God was made manifest that he would destroy the works of the devil. I decree that the works of the devil are destroyed. It is destroyed over this region. It is destroyed over my neighborhood. It is destroyed over my body, over my family, over my children, over my loved ones, over my ministry, over my pastor, over my doctor and lawyer, over my government. The evil works of the devil is destroyed. I declare and decree that the plans and the purposes of God shall prevail. The word of God prevails. Hallelujah. His will prevails. My prophetic purpose and destiny prevails. My vision prevails. My business prevails. My ideas prevail. I prophesy to the four winds that things that have died prematurely and dried up because of satanic activities are quickened and come to life. I declare that the pieces of my destiny and financial, ministerial, relational puzzle, it comes together. My life comes together. I decree, hallelujah, that my money is coming together. My business is coming together. My relationships are coming together. My family is coming together. The body of Christ is coming together. My ministry is coming together. My marriage, my family are coming together. My budget is coming together. Our governments are coming together. Our leaderships are coming together. Everything is working together according to your will. Father, I thank you. Hallelujah. With you, nothing is impossible. So therefore, Father, I decree and declare, hallelujah, that the floodgates of heaven are open. Let it rain. Spirit of God, usher us into times of repression that you promise will come from the presence of God. I decree and declare that there shall be no more demonic droughts, no more demonic dryness, distress, disease, depression, and no more demonic trauma. We come in the volume of the book it is written of us. We come in the power of God. Hallelujah, the God of Joshua. Hallelujah, and we decree and declare that every impenetrable wall must come down in the name of Jesus and in the power of the Most High God. I shatter barriers, blockages, barricades, and boulders. I declare that I am advancing, hallelujah, according, hallelujah, to the purposes and the plans of God. Hallelujah, the cause of Christ is advancing in this region and in every region. I am promoting and proclaiming that Jesus Christ is Lord of lords and King of kings, that the kingdom of God has come. He is king, hallelujah, over every region, and his kingdom is at hand. We take authority over every demonic stronghold and break the cords and bands of wickedness. We shake evil out of their elite legal place and take our rightful seat of authority. We take authority over satanic altars in the mountains. We stand in the spirit of Elijah, and we decree and declare that the God that answers by fire, he is God. We decree that the fire of the Lord destroys every altar. We command that the powers of the enemy be broken over our life, be broken over our ministry, be broken over our home, be broken over our mind, be broken over our relationships. They are broken over our body, over our life, over our children, over our marriage, over our spouse, over our business, over our practices. We decree and declare, hallelujah, that evil has no control, hallelujah, over our lives anymore. We break free of evil control, hallelujah, of the enemy. We break free over patterns, pedages, charms, amulets, good luck pieces, talisman, chains, stops, bondages, incantations, addictions, generational curses, spirits of inheritance, debt, poverty, apathy, hopelessness, abuse, helplessness, prayerlessness. We decree and declare they are destroyed wherever and whatever the witches, the warlocks, the sorcerers, the psychics, the religious manipulators are using as points of contact to release curses, be it pictures, clothing, strands of hair, personal items, garments, bones, dust, blood, voodoo dolls, altars, amulets, bones, water, brews, mixes, whatever it is, I command it to be disintegrated in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We interrupt lines of communication between familiar spirits and sever illegal activities designed to frustrate the plans and purposes of God in our lives. We command every attachment to be broken. We command cords to be broken. We command every stronghold to be broken. We take authority over the spirits of doubt, enmeshment, entanglement, fear, terror, confusion, unbelief, intimidation, sin, iniquity. We release ourselves from the stronghold of the enemy and over dark spiritual forces which bombard our mind. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we stand to pray, we break through the strongholds of the enemy by the hand of God, the finger of God, the word of God, the blood of Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of God. Hallelujah, by apostolic interventions, angelic assistance. Father, we arise in the spirit of Zerubbabel, hallelujah, and Elijah, and speak grace, grace to the mountains and their diabolical altars. Father, cause them to be destroyed by your fire. We establish the lordship of Christ over this region. I declare that their powers are made impotent over this region. I declare according to Isaiah 9, 6 and 7, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment, and with judgment from henceforth for even evermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Lift up your head, O ye gates. Be lifted up, ye everlasting door, and the King of glory shall come in. I remind you once again, hallelujah, that the zeal of the Lord shall perform this. Hallelujah, there is none like my God. There is none that is powerful. Hallelujah, as my God. He is Jehovah Gabora. Father, we worship you. We praise you. We have not bowed our knees to any other God. Father, there is no other God like Jehovah. Father, we take authority over the prince of the power of the air and establish our superior authority over this region in Jesus' name. Bring to an end satanic oppression, satanic opposition, false burdens. In your wrath, scatter the activities of our enemies, and in your scorn, orchestrate their division. We decree and declare that our mind is free of any and all strongholds. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We command the heavens to be open. Father, clear the path and rid supernatural highways of every satanic barricade that will hinder our prayers. Hallelujah, we arrest, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, those entities that are responsible for demonic trafficking and prohibit further interference and interruption and interception. I put prophetic and apostolic pressure upon heaven. I command
every demonic portal to be open. Gates of brass, bars of iron be open. Father, close every satanic portal. Give the enemy no access to the regions that are off limits. Let there be no demonic and satanic encroachment. As I advance, I decree and declare that every stronghold over this region is broken from off of my mind. I decree and declare that the log jams in my mind are cleared, giving the Holy Spirit unrestricted, unhindered access to my mind, soul, and spirit. I decree that there will be no demonic hijacking of supernatural insight, prophetic revelations, witty ideas, and creative inventions. Divine inspiration and wisdom now flows freely. In the name of Jesus, every mountain must be made low. Every valley must be brought up. Every crooked place must be made straight, so that I now advance on a level playing field.
I want to thank you all for listening in and joining in. With the purpose of closures, Blog Talk Radio, I want to share a few things with you about Dr. Miles Monroe, who has left a legacy. He died in an accident, a plane crash. He was traveling with his wife and a few more passengers. He had just finished completing a church event, his ministry. And was on his way to another . It's utterly impossible to measure the magnitude of Dr. Monroe's loss to the Bahamas and to the world. Prime Minister Perry Christie said he was indisputable, one of the most global recognizable religious figures our nation has ever produced. But this man of God has written hundreds and hundreds of books. He died young too, 60 years old. He definitely fulfilled his purpose. He definitely did not die empty. But he's not dead. He's still alive. Still making an impact, a positive impact on other people's lives. His voice is still being heard all over the world. What's your purpose? You don't have to necessarily be in a pulpit, a congregation of 10, 20,000 people. Just do kingdom business. But as you increase your prayer life, God of the universe will definitely let you know. Like I said in Matthew 6:33, seek ye the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Please follow us. Also comment below. Stand still. Stand still. And you will see the salvation of the Lord. But while you're standing still, pray. Pray. your host, Cassandra Brand. Have a very blessed